Welcome to this episode of Banking on Kansas City. I'm your host, Kelly Scanlon, and with us today is Tyler Enders. He's a serial entrepreneur, and he is the co-founder of Made in Kansas City. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, Made in Kansas City, you know, it's an iconic brand. It has become an iconic brand in the short 5 years that it's been here in Kansas City. Talk to us a little bit about the inspiration behind Made in Kansas City.
Sure. It's very exciting that we're coming up on 5 years. It continues to amaze us. With each new iteration of Made in KC, we kind of realize that we need to set our sights higher and that our community of stakeholders continues to grow, which then inspires us to figure out what the next stage looks like. So Made in KC started 5 years ago in a 300 square foot space. It was actually a stairwell to another store. And we had 14 makers. At the time, the products were things like ceramics. They were wood products, leather goods, t-shirts, et cetera. And now we work with 250 makers at any given time. Sometimes it's north of 300, and we've really expanded what it means to work with local makers. So whereas it used to be primarily goods that were durable goods that you would use, now we not only carry those goods, but we also have a coffee and bar program. And so we get to work with the coffee makers in Kansas City. We get to work with the wineries and vineyards, the breweries, the people who are making spirits. We've really expanded to incorporate as many creatives in Kansas City as possible.
What do you think the appeal is of local products? Because as I said, it's become iconic. You yourself have talked about how it has expanded so much. What is the appeal?
I think one of the things that we've continued to see from the first time we opened our pop-up shop to today is if I'm in a store for any long duration of time, it's almost impossible to not hear someone say, "Oh, I know the person who makes this."
Yes.
And that's the really, really fun part, that Kansas City has this tight-knit community, and working with as many makers as we do, people feel a real connection to the products that we carry.
And when you talk about, the number of makers that have expanded, and you've expanded into food now beyond just the durable goods, there's a lot of economic power in all of those makers and all of those products and all of that food. So talk to us about the impact of buying local.
Well, that's what we're really trying to explore right now. So over the past 4.5 years, we really haven't used that as a reason for people to shop with us. We have very, very rarely until the last 3 or 4 months said shop local or shop here because we sell local goods. It's something that we were hesitant to use as kind of the rallying force. Instead, we said, this is a really great product. This is a quality product. This is a unique product.
You wanted them to stand on their own.
Exactly. Yeah. And we didn't really know what it meant to say, you should shop here because you're shopping locally. So a few months ago, I kind of did a deep dive into trying to understand what that meant. And we decided that it is worth looking into and exploring. And that was a really, really interesting process. So the first thing that I learned was that groups who put a concerted effort into a shop local campaign do see results. So first and foremost, we realized that it is worthwhile to get people together to do some analysis and to, if you think it's worthwhile, promote something as shopping locally, and that there's actually a material effect on those businesses that participate.
Such as?
So if you have two different communities that have the same rough demographics and economics, one who says shop local and who puts that in their windows, who puts that on the bottom of their receipts, who puts it in their marketing, will actually see an increase in sales for doing that. So the next thing that we wanted to understand, because we realized that that was a fruitful way to message, was what does that mean? And this is the part that's been fascinating for me and that has kind of launched us into a new avenue that we're going to explore. So when I started looking into this, I was actually very frustrated by the amount of research out there that was readily available.
There wasn't a lot, probably.
No. Yeah. And the majority of the research originated 19 years ago. So we're coming up on 20 years of this research, which is what most people are referencing. And they continue to update it with continuing the research, but it's done in the same way. And I'll explain that briefly. They analyze the P&Ls of local companies versus national companies. And they're trying to figure out where all the expenses are going. So is it a local landlord that's being paid? How much of your labor force is local? How much of the product is being manufactured or assembled locally? And it's a really great 30,000 foot view analysis, but it really stops there. And that's the part that was frustrating. So we took that analysis on for our own company, and we found that we had metrics that we could be really excited about. And so we decided to go ahead and publish those. nationally, and it's tough to decide whether we want to classify ourselves as a restaurant, as a cafe and bar, as a pure retail
spot. You have so much going on.
Exactly. Yeah. So we kind of took a lot of averages and we did a really, really robust analysis. And we found that on average, about 30% of every dollar spent at a national chain stays locally. Most of that's wages. Mm-hmm. Then at a small locally owned independent store, you're going to see about 60% of every dollar stay locally. Mm-hmm. And at Made in KC, you were at over 90%.
Wow, that's amazing.
Exactly. It was really, really encouraging to see. We knew it was going to be a big number, but 90% was great. Mm-hmm. We really pride ourselves in keeping dollars local. And so then what we're trying to figure out now is, what does that mean? We want to analyze the difference between $2,000 that are spent with a landlord or $2,000 that are spent on wages. We also want to understand what it means when you invest a dollar in downtown versus the Crossroads versus Prairie Village or different parts of Kansas City. And so we realized that while that number was extremely impactful, we think that the churn on a dollar or the number of times that it gets reinvested in a period of time might be very different depending upon whether we're buying goods from a local maker who has a family of four, or whether we're giving it to a landlord, or whether we're buying supplies from a larger company.
Yeah, that would seem to make a lot of sense. And what are you finding there as you continue to dive deeper into those numbers?
So we are starting to try to utilize the various resources that Kansas City has, the various institutions, to get connected to other researchers, to get connected to dollars that could help us conduct better research. The dream is to conduct some research that is really the most impactful research on what it means to shop locally in the last 20 years. And my hope is that it'll be this catalyst for 20 other research projects so people can drill down even further into the detail and the minutiae of what this could be. There are so many programs that are meant to incentivize local business. We know that entrepreneurship is important. We know that small businesses are vital to local communities, but we don't really know how to quantify it. We don't really know why we should invest with one person over another. And what we'd like to do is help kickstart that research, get people excited about conducting that research again. So that way, communities like the EDC or like AltCap, when they're figuring out how they want to deploy their funds in an equitable way, but also in a way that has a large impact, they can look to this research and realize that spending $5,000 locally is not the same in one neighborhood or another, and it's not the same if it's going to a landlord or a supplier or a staff employee.
Yeah. What is the lifespan of those dollars, I guess, is another way of looking at it. You know, at what point do they stop after the first spend? Or as you said, do they keep just generating more dollars down the road, depending on who you spend it with?
That's exactly the type of thing that we want to discover. And we think that based upon what Made in KC is and what it's supposed to be, we have a really good opportunity to help further that research. So we call ourselves a platform for makers and artists. Mm-hmm. We want to cultivate creativity in Kansas City. And we think that an important part of that is the economic side of that. Kansas City has rallied around this cause, which has been so wonderful to see. And now we want to make sure that as people are rallying around Made in KC, we're doing everything we can to make sure that we're utilizing our resources in the best way and that we're propelling Kansas City forward. My dream would be for Kansas City to become a place that's known for local and that we can be a model for other cities who are trying to kickstart their local campaigns, who are trying to figure out where do we spend our incentive money? What are the communities in which we really need to invest in? If we can develop some of that research that encourages other research, then hopefully models can be built to create more sustainable, equitable communities.
What's going to have to change in order for you to meet that goal?
Yeah, it's going to be gathering a lot of research. Kansas City is really well poised to be a community that supports local. As I travel throughout the U.S., I'm constantly looking at what the maker scene is like in other places, how often you come across local beers, local coffee shops, local products in national stores. And Kansas City is really, really performing at a high level on all of those metrics. And I think it's a number of reasons, but one example that I like to give is that we have lower barriers to entry. And that's in many different ways. So if you're a woodworker, we have better access to lumber yards. It's easier to own a truck or to rent a truck. It's easier to have a garage or a place that you might share where you build a wood shop. A lot of people in larger cities don't have some of those things. We also have this really nurturing environment. And so the barriers to entry on education are lower. slower. There's so many community organizations. There are so many entrepreneurs who are very willing to share their time and talents to help others learn from their mistakes.
When you talk about makers, are you talking about people like you and your partners who have created, launched Made in KC, now 5 years old and very well established? Does that also include hobbyists? What does it include? I want to get to the heart of your definition of maker.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's very broad. Mm-hmm. I like to, in my mind, it includes all of those categories that you just mentioned. One of our favorite things, or one of the things that we tout the most and that we love to see, is we love to see someone who's a hobbyist who then decides, you know what, I want to make this hobby a part-time business or a side hustle. And we love seeing that person then grow to decide, hey guys, I'm going to take the plunge and I think I can support myself. This is going to be my full-time income. And then seeing that person hire on other people. For us, the term maker is really inclusive. Thus far, people have embraced the term, and there hasn't been this dispute of whether someone is an artist or they're craft artist or fine artist or whether they're a maker. And we always use the term maker or makers and artists. And for us, it means anyone who's trying to, in some creative way, develop something that excites them, that they're passionate about. And it is ultimately making something.
For the greater community, for the greater Kansas City area, how can they get more in tune with makers? Obviously, they can see their products on display and for purchase at Made in KC. But then there's also the Makers Fair. And then what are some of the other efforts that are going on to educate Kansas Cityans in general?
That's a great question. It's been such an organic movement. There aren't really a few organizations to point to. There are so many people who work in collaboration with each other, who are constantly keeping each other up to date. What's fun is that in this community, people run into each other on a really regular basis. There are a lot of collisions, which create Yes. really great opportunities. It is organic, and it is something that's been grassroots. And so there aren't just a few organizations that you can point to as saying, hey, this is really the thought leader that you should follow. For someone who is trying to better understand the community or whether they want to be a maker or learn how to support makers, I would encourage them to go to any number of things that they run across, whether it is a shop like ours or whether it's a maker fair or an artist event. And pretty quickly through talking to people, what I've heard both from native Kansas Cityans and people who have moved here and who had experience in other creative communities is that they can get comfortable within our community incredibly quickly. And it is, I think, that Midwestern yeah. attitude.
You are a very welcoming city.
Very much so.
And we're willing to share. I know for years when I worked so intimately with the entrepreneurial community, I was amazed at the number of people who could have been much more guarded with their information because maybe they thought they were competitors or something, but that they collaborated.
Absolutely. Each yeah. year we host what we call our creative convergence, and it's a dinner with all of our makers. And every single year, new collaborations come from it. As small as Kansas City is, it's also spread out and people work in very, very different ways and in different places. For us, the Creative Convergence, and we have a number of different events throughout the year where we try to get people together. It's an opportunity for people to say, oh, I've followed your story, but I've never had a chance to meet. And it's really fun for people from two different backgrounds or who work with two different types of products to figure out a way that they can then collaborate together. And that's what I think really creates this exponential growth in Kansas City, where if you go pick up, you know, five different ceramic goods in Kansas City and compare them to five different ceramic makers in a bunch of other cities, you're going to see just a much higher level of thought, a higher quality good. There's just so much that comes from that spirit of collaboration.
Yeah. And it's a much more personal experience, I think, too. You know, there's just that personal attachment to it. It's the difference between going to a restaurant and buying a meal and having a homemade meal, maybe, is one way yeah. to look at it. I mentioned earlier, you're a serial entrepreneur in the retail space. Talk to us a little bit about what some of those companies are and as far as Made in KC, how they intersect in the retail industry in many ways.
Absolutely. The retail industry has just been fascinating the past, you know, decade or so. And we realize that we're beneficiaries from globalization in so many ways. And there's so many things that are wonderful to access online and to get really, really quickly. And so in this grand scheme of retail, there are so many different places that things can fit. And as landlords have tried to reckon with this change in retail, there have been a lot of opportunities. And so we continually get approached as Made in KC saying, hey, here's this opportunity. We have a vacancy, or we're trying to achieve this in our shopping center. How do we do that? And that's opened the door for a lot of interesting opportunities for us. So we've done things from contemporary furniture to women's clothing to experiential immersive art experiences. And what we're trying to do in all those is better learn, hone our skill set, try new things that we couldn't try otherwise. We've always talked about how for our own initiatives, Made in KC does have a ceiling in that we're made in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And so there are certain products we can't work with. There are certain places that we can't go. To be a really great Kansas City company, you don't need to only service people in Kansas City. You don't need to only make products here. There are so many great companies that are based here that have a national impact or a global impact.
Right.
So what we're trying to explore are different things where Kansas City has an advantage. So you look at our creative scene, we have this immense, amazing creative scene that's really, really collaborative. How can we leverage that in a way that other cities don't have access to that? So we do have a number of locations outside the Kansas City area that are not a made-in concept. They're different concepts. We're in Boulder, in Omaha, and in St. Louis. And we're trying to explore different ideas because, again, the retail scene is going through such an influx of change that there are a lot of unique opportunities. We're trying to capitalize on some of those.
If for someone who hasn't heard of Made in KC, where are you located?
Yeah, we have 6 area locations. So out south, we're at Prairie Fire. Then we're in Corinth Square, which is at 83rd and Mission. We're on the Plaza. That's where our marketplace is. Then we have a downtown coffee shop, we have a Crossroads location, and we're up north in Briarcliff.
And that leads me to another question, which is, how do you know when it's time to open a new location? I've seen more businesses that start out just great with one location, and then they start expanding, and that's when the trouble starts. They can't replicate the experience, or they get, you know, too much strain on their resources, financial, people, whatever it might be, and then things start to go downhill. And I've seen some who have survived that, but they have come back to their original location and just stayed there, you know, and shut everything else down. So how are you managing that? How do you decide when to open one and then another location? And then how do you manage that kind of growth?
Well, at 5 years old, all of our locations are under 5 years old.
Mm-hmm, so, they would be, yes.
So, you know, I don't know if we can say that we're successful yet. We have grown quickly because we thought that it was important to our makers to grow. The idea being, if I make ceramics and I'm trying to sell at local shops, it's a much better situation to go to Made in KC. And now all of a sudden be represented in 6 different areas in Kansas City, then have to drive and pitch 6 different people. So growth for us was very much in line with our mission statement. We want to be a platform for makers and artists, and we want to be the most robust platform possible. We want to be online. We want to be where people are in their neighborhood. We want to offer a lot of ways for people to reach us. But in terms of knowing the timing, I'm not sure yet if we've timed everything right. I think we've grown as quickly as we could. I don't think that, although we've said no to dozens of opportunities, I don't think we ever had the bandwidth to take on more. We do try to be extremely deliberate every single time we make a decision, but we absolutely hope to continue growing and hope that all of our locations will be around for years to come.
Well, you are creating excitement in Kansas City, and not just you know, from a brand standpoint or from a civic or pride standpoint, but from an economic standpoint too. Such great work you're doing. Thank you so much for everything you do.
Thank you so much, and thanks for having me.
From Charlie Hustle to Jack Stack to local artists, authors, or craftsmen, Made in KC is a hub of all things literally made right here in Kansas City. They curate what they sell from hundreds of submissions and form relationships with homegrown makers and brands, bringing you locally sourced goods and sharing success with those who make the product. And when you buy from Made in KC, you're buying from your neighbors, friends, literally the people you pass on the plaza, cheer alongside during Super Bowl victories, or share a morning commute with on I-35. At Country Club Bank, we believe in all things local. Country Club Bank is made in KC. If you have the opportunity, shop local. Your neighbors, coworkers, and friends will thank you for it. Thanks for tuning in this week. We're banking on you, Kansas City. Country Club Bank, member FDIC.